Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. No Andy Reid press conference today. The schedule shifted around a bit because they're in the middle of this three-game, 11-day stretch. So they'll play Saturday against the Texans right here on 96.5 The Fan. That's why we don't have any injury update other than what Fesco said this morning or the latest that you read from Ian Rappaport, who's calling him week to week.
They're calling it a mild
ankle sprain. And that's where things stand on the injury front. We also don't have any update on Shamari Connor, although I think we all watched the game and saw that he definitely got knocked out and did not know where he was at. Very scary stuff there. I mean, he needed help walking to the locker room, so probably not going to be a week where you expect to see him practicing.
Feels unlikely, I would guess. I don't think you can clear, you can clear concussion protocol inside of a week if literally today you start doing it. That's for a game on Sunday. He's not playing by Saturday. Next up on What's Trending, could be a lot worse in the injury front. You thought the Chiefs had it bad. The Detroit Lions, who have been bitten by the injury bug all single year, it just got worse. David Montgomery has now been listed as out indefinitely with his knee sprain, so they don't know when he'll come back. They just lost another defensive lineman, Aleem McNeil, for the season after his injury on Sunday. And now Carlton Davis has a broken jaw and is out indefinitely as well. They have placed 11 defensive players on the IR before this game, now 12. And they got a 13th now out indefinitely with Carlton Bragg. And it's starting to show. Their defensive DVOA was first in the NFL for the first 8 weeks of the season. They are 25th over the last 4 weeks. So just so you know, we talk about this all the time. The Chiefs kind of outran some of their problems injury-wise there for a while, or just play-wise for a while. At a point, sometimes the check's got to get cash. I think that's what's happening to the Lions. I think they have to be genuinely afraid that they're losing the one seed to the Eagles.
It's definitely in play now. After all the talk about their season, there's a real chance they would have to play opening weekend, and if they advance, would have to go to Philadelphia or somebody in the postseason instead of playing multiple games at home throughout the postseason. Next up on What's Trending, some college football news. I know we have some Nebraska fans around the area. It was just announced a couple hours ago that Cincinnati and Nebraska will open next season at Arrowhead, Thursday, August 28th. So it'll be one of those opening weekend, week zero college football games. Nebraska against Cincinnati at Arrowhead. That'll be actually a pretty cool atmosphere. It's been, I think it'll be the first time that Cincinnati and Nebraska have ever played as well. First time in over a century.
Sweet.
Yeah. That's cool.
Just makes me wish for the Big 8 days. Give me back the old Big 8, please. I liked it when it was Colorado, Nebraska, and Missouri, and Kansas, the heyday of that conference. That's what it is. Next up on What's Trending, Penn State's Drew Allar is to return to school for his senior season. That was after Allar. It's Allar, actually. Sorry.
Yes, it is Allar.
Drew Allar to return to school for his senior season. That after their backup quarterback announced that they were entering the portal. Seems like those timings are probably related to that. But that's actually a big deal. There are some people who thought Allar was going to be the third or fourth quarterback taken in the upcoming NFL draft. Looks real thin at quarterback for teams looking in this upcoming draft. Allar probably would have been
a first-round pick or a second-round pick,
and he's going to come back. There's a lot of money.
That NIL deal is pretty good for Drew Allar. What Drew is alluding to there, Quinn Ewers hasn't made his decision. There's a lot of rumors out there about what some schools would offer him if he were to come back to college, and if he would transfer from Texas. Archie Manning would start at Texas. So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. But yes, Quinn Ewers has not decided on his future either. Next up on What's Trending, former Virginia Tech Hokies star, and obviously had a pretty darn good NFL career as well, Michael Vick is in talks reportedly to become Norfolk State's next head coach. So we're seeing this happen.
The Deion Sanders effect.
Eddie George is coaching at Tennessee State these days. Mike Vick maybe at Norfolk State. You're going to see more and more maybe former NFL players go back to college and coach. I think it's pretty cool.
Kind of crazy, but the line is easy. Go to the small school that will take you. Your name is big enough that they're willing to do it. They think you can recruit as a former NFL player that everybody remembers growing up watching.
Imagine Michael Vick recruiting you. I mean, come on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess, do 20-year-olds remember Michael Vick? Those clips last forever.
I mean, same with Deion.
Some of his old highlight clips, yeah.
Deion's older than Mike Vick, so.
But those are the flashiest of players, too, to go find clips.
Oh, both of them? Yeah.
So, like, maybe that makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, my I don't know anybody that does. I mean, I guess the same applies for Deion, but like even if you're younger, Michael Vick, whether it's from the video game or not, like just I mean, like Mike Vick's a name that I think would hold some weight on a recruiting visit.
You think for
a high school kid?
This obviously is a trend started by Deion Sanders, so you can give him. I'm not saying no former players ever coached, but the one that is like not on a staff, not doing anything, and then just picks up coaching at a small school, not like. The former player who's been OC'ing for years, was an assistant coach, quarterback coach, moved up to that happens all the time. Lots of guys work through the system and are former players that do this thing. The like former bigger named player who's just get into it, that's Deion Sanders thing. That's like all directly from his success.
Yeah, I mean look, Trent Dilfer is coaching at UAB. It's been a disaster there, but he's made some interesting comments since he's been the head coach at UAB. But he's a head coach in there. Who else? There was somebody else that was rumored to be Teddy Bridgewater's coaching high school football, just won a state championship. Maybe he bumps up to college at some point. Yeah. First year, Teddy Bridgewater is coaching high school football.
He was brought in to turn around the program or something.
They won the state title.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, I guess it worked.
Yeah, so.
Turns out Teddy Bridgewater might know a little something about football.
Maybe at some point we'll see Teddy Bridgewater coaching in college football.
That's what I would do. I mean, unless you just want to coach. High school is completely different. You can just treat it different.
Trent Dilfer was doing the high school academy or whatever before he got the UAB job.
Is Phil Rivers still coaching? Remember, he was doing
Alabama,
high school, too.
Isn't he at the same school his dad coached at or something? I think he's... I don't know how well they're doing. I mean, I don't keep track of Alabama high school football, but I believe...
maybe the UAB job will be opening up soon, actually. Yeah. So.
Trent Dilfer is probably in his last year at UAB, the way things are going.
No.
Someone says, do you think high schoolers know who Michael Vick is? Serious question. I mean, it's the same question people have been asked about Bill Belichick. Like, does that name carry weight? You know, eventually you're going to run out of people that are basically old enough to remember. I think Michael Vick, though, here's my reason why the answer is yes. If you play high school football, and let's assume we're talking about a quarterback you're trying to recruit, and you're a dual threat quarterback,
I just don't know how
that's not a name that, like, now people, if you're younger, Lamar Jackson is who everybody's looking at, but I don't know how, if you're at that level, that you haven't seen a clip of Michael Vick. Your high school coach didn't tell you about Michael Vick. We're getting old and we're just like, how do you not know?
Deion managed to do it. And it's not like like you said, he's 10 years older.
Yeah, I just don't know how, if you're playing. Now, look, asking random 15-year-old out there who Michael Vick is, yeah, you're going to get some that don't know who he is. I'm talking about, like, you're playing high school football. You're good enough to be recruited. I guess Norfolk State's not the highest level, but you get what I'm saying. Like, at that level still, you know who Michael Vick
D1
is. Yeah, it's still D1. It's even if it's not Power 5.
The key is, can you get, like, the one thing that we don't know that these other coaches will be able to mimic is, at Jackson State, Deion Sanders was recruiting Heisman-level players, okay?
Yeah.
The guy just won the Heisman on Saturday, so he was recruiting Heisman-caliber players to Jackson State. Not a D1 in a Power 4 conference. Mm-hmm. Jackson State. So, like, the question is, if you're Michael Vick, can you get a 4-star or 5-star to go to Norfolk State, where he's going to beat the hell out of the bad competition with the assumption that I'll get a better...
I think Travis Hunter is a very unique situation now that we've learned more and more, and we'll talk about the Heisman stuff in a little bit. Shedeur Sanders was very, involved in that process. I think we've now seen very clear how much Deion has meant to him as Travis Hunter, as a father figure. If you watch the speech, you heard Travis getting pretty emotional talking about his dad, who wasn't there at the ceremony because he's been in and out of his life, unfortunately. So I think that's a pretty unique spot. Now, that story is not maybe necessarily unique. I'm not saying that's not happened in recruiting, and coaches mean a lot for young men that are coming out of high school and maybe different parts and in different areas and in upbringing and everything like that. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting to continue to track how this trend goes. We don't see it as much. Someone points out college basketball. We don't really see that in college hoops as much. Like, former NBA guy goes to, it's different. Football is a little bit, can someone give me an example?
Redick.
Coaching in college.
I was like, Redick.
No.
Redick wasn't coaching at all.
Former players coaching the NBA all the time. I'd say, how often do we see a pretty star level NBA player go
Penny
back
Hardaway?
And coach college? That's
that,
it.
That might be that it.
That's probably that's the it. College basketball example is Penny.
And Memphis.
Juwan Howard when he was at Michigan.
Michigan, yep.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not common, but it does
occur. That was the alma mater thing, too, so that helped.
It also just feels like it's a bigger deal now because Deion did it at a level we hadn't seen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Deion came off the street, and again, recruited players at that level that, nobody's ever recruited for, and then he took it to Colorado, which was, at the time, the worst Power 5 college football program, and he got him to back-to-back bowl games, I think, right? So, mm-hmm. Or wait, did they get to
not last year.
Not last year. Bowl game this year, though. So certainly.
Yeah, they're playing BYU in the Alamo Bowl.
And I think credit to Deion, too. He said everybody's playing in that game.
Yeah, good.
He said there's no opt-outs with me.
So,
go ahead.
I was going to say the same thing, yeah. So, back to the Chiefs a little bit. You and I probably come to the same realization, which everybody did. The biggest problem with this ankle injury is that because the Bills beat the Lions yesterday, and I mean, look, the game got close at the end, but the Bills handled Detroit and put up 40 on their ass, so certainly more than deserving of the win. But the Lions not doing you a favor against Buffalo means the one seed is a problem. The question is, with Patrick Mahomes, with a, they call mild high ankle sprain, how do they get the two wins they need to do it? Two wins locks up the number one seed. So how do you get there knowing that Buffalo pretty much has three wins in the bag? Look, I'm sure someone's going to try to be like, division games, which I'm a proponent of. Mm-hmm. Here they come. I don't know, man. Patriots. Any of you want to predict a loss in those last three games? Because I don't see it. Which means Kansas City has to win two out of the next three.
I would be very surprised, but it's the NFL and weird results happen. Yes, I would be pretty stunned if the Bills drop one in the next three. The only reason why I think there's a chance is because their defense stinks. And they've given up 46 points.
And I guess the Jets offense just had their best game of the season yesterday.
86 points, I'm sorry, in their last two games. That would be the only reason why it wouldn't be like the biggest stunner of the season or something like that if they drop one of them. But most likely, yeah, the Chiefs are going to have to handle their business over the next three and go 2-1 at least you go 2-1 you're in. Yeah.
Well, at least. I mean, if you win 3-0, you still get it.
Yeah. Yeah. You yes. 2-1 guarantees you it though. Yeah. 3-0 would be great. That's why when we talk number one seed, it also impacts how you handle, I think, Patrick Mahomes. But the odds would tell you right now the Chiefs are -195 to be the number one seed. That's gone down because of where things are at. And the Bills are +160. It's a two-horse race for that. The Steelers lost over the weekend. It's been a two-horse race for a while anyway. But for Kansas City, how they navigate this stretch, this is why we compared the Bills' schedule and the Chiefs' schedule for many, many weeks now. The Bills have a normal Sunday schedule. They play Sunday.
The against Chiefs bad team. Chiefs play
Saturday and a Wednesday and then a Sunday.
And against playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reminder. The Chiefs' final three opponents are all playoff teams. By the time the schedule ends, Kansas City will likely, obviously technically playoff teams can switch, face 9 playoff teams in their 17-game schedule. The Bills will face 5 in their 17-game schedule. It's a real risk of them losing the one seed. It's a huge risk. I think they're going to have to play Week 18. I think for all of our hopes that the Chiefs game against the Denver Broncos wasn't going to matter, I think it is going to matter for the number one seed. And both the Bills are going to have to play the final week of the season. The Chiefs are going to have to play the final week of the season. The most interesting part of this, which is funny to me, is they will have to play the Patriots, everybody. Patriots are a bad team. They're just going to play their whole unit. That's how it works in the final week of the season.
Jets offense has been better.
And the Jets offense has been better. There is a chance the Chiefs' final game of the season is played against a Denver Broncos team starting Zach Wilson.
Yep.
And you're like, I know it doesn't make sense because I can't think of a lot of cases where it goes down like this. But it feels like Week 18 could very well come down to the Denver Broncos are locked into their seed and it doesn't matter. And they're going to take the chance to get a break because they know they're not getting a break in the bye week. And they're going
to
rest their starters and rest Nick Benito or rest
Sertan just got hurt. Yeah.
Rest Sertan. And you're going to get to go in there with your starters and play the Denver Broncos shorthanded. Unless they just feel like playing spoiler. And if you're Sean Payton, you got to think about yourself, not about the other team.
Oh, I would imagine.
You're not facing the Chiefs right now.
If they had their spot locked up and they had nothing to gain, unless there was a potential seed matchup they liked better or something in their mind, they'll take the bye week. You know, they'll definitely take that. And that's the other difference here. And when we talk about every team wants the number one seed, if we're talking about Buffalo or Kansas City, we all know the advantage. But remember, the bye week timing and everything. You know, some of these other teams, not only are they finishing Sunday instead of short week, is the Chiefs had a week 6 bye. You know, these other teams that are playing, like Baltimore's playing this Saturday too, but they had a week 14 bye. The Texans are playing this weekend like week as well. The Texans was a week 14 bye. The Bills was 12 or 13 bye for Buffalo. So that's the difference. And with where their quarterback's ankle is at, Patrick Mahomes, the bye week is so vital for the Chiefs' chances at three-peating. And it got that much more important after yesterday's injury.
Even at the risk of re-aggravation, I think you have to keep your foot on the pedal for the one seed now. Because I still told you, and I know you said that there's a risk in it, because I'm not pretending like there's not. But if you put Patrick Mahomes out of there on Saturday, then you win. Then you get to just do whatever you want for the final two games to get what singular win.
Yeah, you still got
to
get another one, though.
Singular win. Yeah, but if you want to be like, we got to dial it back, or we got to run the ball 60 times against the Steelers and just see if we can win 12-9, the most likely way you could beat the Steelers in running the ball in there. But at least, or you could just be like, we're going to offer no game plan that offers a chance for Mahomes to get hurt in this game, because then we're going to get 10 days off before we face the Broncos. And we're going to put all of our eggs in that basket, because we know we'll get 2 weeks off after that.
Well, then it's all about if we're going to be saying it like that, then it's all about this Saturday.
Honestly, I think so. That's how I would handle
it. It's all about the Saturday. I still, though, if you told me they end up deciding for it to be Carson Wentz, as we discussed in the Chiefs Red F Hour, I have no problem with that, and I totally get it. Ultimately, it's still about having your quarterback as healthy as possible as the playoffs. The number one seed allows you to do that, but also just simply keeping him healthy, of course, and not getting hits on that ankle again allow you to do that. So it's going to be really interesting how Andy balances the, hey, Mahomes is clearly not going to, like, there's no way Mahomes will be 100% Saturday. We know that. There's just no way.
Just
to what degree is he able to protect himself? And more importantly, are you willing to call plays to protect your quarterback? Do you trust DJ Humphries or Joe Tooney to protect your quarterback? Because if you can't answer that definitively, then he should not play on Saturday on a bum ankle against the Houston Texans, whether or not we're talking about number one seed or not. Now, I think Kyle Brandt said the Chiefs should just sit Mahomes the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, he said just sit him the rest of 3 weeks. His ankle health is more important than the bye, is what he said.
Yeah, I'm sure the folks in Buffalo would love that. But
Bills colored glasses, maybe?
I think so. We like Kyle Brandt a lot. He's unbelievably talented. We enjoyed having him on the show. But I think there's a little Bills slant to that opinion, in my opinion.
What's funny is, like, you mentioned the D.D. Humphries thing, and this is like a whole nother part of it that I wonder, when they're behind closed doors, how much does this factor? Let's just say they're sitting around the meeting and it's Thursday and they're like, hey, D.J. ain't going to be ready. D.J. can't go. Does that, like, in a way, that would color my opinion on whether or not you're supposed to play Mahomes. Do they let it color theirs, right? We're sitting around, you're like, guys, we don't even have the guy we won at left tackle in the game yet. And I think you guys all saw how that went right before. So, like, I mean, we got to start tuning again at left. You guys want to do this again? Do you guys want to leave him back out there? Because you're right, one re-aggravation of a high ankle sprain, and then we're right back. The other part about it, though, is, like, if this was a new injury, no chance, right? If he had never had this before and it's a new high ankle
new
sprain.
New this year, but yeah.
No, I just meant new in general. No one is more adept at dealing with high ankle sprains than Patrick Mahomes. This feels like the 15th he's had in his career.
Yeah, he'll have
I don't know if it's that many, but like, he's setting an NFL record for number of high ankle sprains in a quarterback's career at this point. I feel like he's had this injury 5-6 times already.
Yeah, we've been down this road, talking about an ankle injury. Sometimes in the playoffs, he's won a Super Bowl. As we said, with the ankle injury in game, remember the run against the Eagles on the bad ankle? Yeah. It's one of the all-time moments in his career, considering the magnitude of that run and where the game was
at. It's like a mom lifting a car from her injured child or whatever. Anytime he's like hurt in a playoff game.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear a ton about it, and props to the training staff for this, right? We heard them pray. Like, I think it's Julie. She's usually involved in the ankle rehab stuff for players, in particular for Mahomes. And
he's had this so often. We know the name of the trainer, guys.
That's where we're at.
Be good.
Shout out to Julie.
That's right. Get that ankle right.
I don't know if you listen to the show, Julie, but you're welcome into the fan club the next time. We got a couple of drinks on us for taking care of Mahomes' ankle.
Yeah.
Probably not this Friday. I need you at the job this Friday. Mm-hmm. But in the off season, you're welcome to come by.
And because it's a short week, and that means the media availability stuff is different, it's going to be very, very quiet. I know that Fesco had some reporting, and a lot of it is the kind of the general stuff from Rappaport too, where it's like day to day, week to week, game to game, game time decision.
The same thing. We don't know.
Honestly, nobody fully knows. Clearly they don't know today. They won't know tomorrow. They're not going to know till Friday. They'll have a good idea Friday, and how they, do reps and everything. Like, yeah, I would imagine Carson Wentz has taken plenty of first team reps, if not all of them this week.
He's taken a number. I'd be shocked, I guess, at this point. Who is the third string, by the way? If Mahomes can't go at all.
Isn't he back on the practice squad? Oladukun still on the squad?
Back on the practice squad?
I was wondering.
Bailey Zappi was on the Browns. Saw him hugging Andy after the game.
Oh, so Bailey Zappi. Okay, so it's not him. I kind of forgot Bailey Zappi was on this roster for a little bit.
He was for a brief period of time.
I apologize. I briefly forgot.
Maybe
about
they only him. Have two. I mean, two on the
act. Well, they only have two on the act.
Yeah, I don't know. About practice. Practice squad quarterback Oladukun.
Yep. Okay. Well, I don't think I'd like if it got to that option.
They're not gonna, yeah.
Need Carson Wentz to stay.
A lot of conspiracy theories out there. People saying script writers. Carson Wentz is going to win multiple games for the Chiefs. Okay. And against eventually they'll play the Eagles in the Super Bowl and all this stuff. Make, look, Mahomes second. Is not done for the season, no. People. He's going to maybe miss a game or two.
There was, for a slight second, I thought to myself last night, I was like, if they don't play Mahomes, which makes sense, what if Carson Wentz goes out and drops 30 points?
He will.
On Houston. I'm
he's probably will. You watch.
I'm just wondering.
This is how the story goes, man.
The first time we have a deep shot connection for Hollywood Brown or for Wentz. Xavier Worthy in a while will be Carson Wentz, just because football's weird.
This is because we know that it likes to add drama.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Wentz, if he starts on Saturday, will finish with 350 yards and three touchdowns. I'm just telling you how this
and
goes.
You know what's going
to
happen.
And everyone will be like, see, Mahomes is broken. And we'll have to do topic nationally.
Should they start Carson Wentz?
Yeah, there'll be somebody out there. Like, there'll be somebody.
I'm just warning you how this is always how those stories go. Carson Wentz will finish with 350 yards.
I do think there's a chance they
touchdowns.
Somehow have a better passing attack in a weird way. I don't know why. But
Follow-up question. If Patrick Mahomes couldn't play the rest of the season, which we know he can.
Oh, gosh.
And Carson Wentz won the Super Bowl. Does Mahomes get that ring?
He gets a ring. He does not go on his resume.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. What if, at what point does it still go on your resume?
You have to get hurt in the Super Bowl.
Oh, what if you got hurt in the AFC title game? You still don't give it to him?
Well,
thing.
Let me be clear. You physically get the ring no matter what.
No, I'm saying count is it like
you
the
know in the
ring
debate,
count of quarterbacks who have won rings.
Fast forward 20 years from now, and people are sitting, you know, at a bar top, and they're debating Brady and Mahomes, and Brady has what, 8, right?
They're going to be.
Seven. I'm giving him one extra. He doesn't need an extra one. He's got 7.
He's good.
Belichick has 8, right?
Belichick has 6. He has 6. One less.
That's why I'm getting confused. I'm moving the numbers around. Point being, 7. If Mahomes has 5 or 6, there's going to be plenty of people that'll say, well, he didn't even play in that Super Bowl gold. Can't give him that one.
But they were 15-1, and he won the AFC title game.
He has to play in the Super Bowl for it to count.
It's the same reason why Carson Wentz, Carson Wentz got hurt.
That was a cheat.
And Nick Foles went on and won the Super Bowl.
That was like week 8, dude. I mean, that's different.
It was
or 11 or 12.
Yeah, that was that was a half a season of that. But
he was the MVP
look,
that year.
If you're a Chiefs fan, you shouldn't care deep down because you would get your three-peat. So, you know. But it's an interesting conversation.
That would be very cool for Wentz. If Wentz actually did do it, it would complete the trajectory that they did have when Foles won it.
Wentz did the Foles. He just did the opposite.
Someone says, ask Carson Wentz this week if he feels like he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Oh, man. Nah, I don't need that for Wentz. He's probably talking to the media tomorrow, which I guess will air.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? There's a very good chance Mahomes doesn't speak tomorrow.
So, this is so stupid, but here's the behind the scenes for how NFL media availability works via the NFL. A quarterback has to be made available to the media the week of the game for a press conference. The Chiefs do this on Wednesdays, typically. It would be Tuesdays, typically. A quarterback has to be available. Will it be Carson Wentz or Patrick Mahomes? We'll see.
Probably Wentz.
Yeah, they'll probably just let Mahomes be like, hey, man, you want a week off of media availability? He'd be like, sure.
Sounds good to me. Or you're getting rehab on the ankle.
Yeah. Get some extra treatment.
Whether it's happening at that moment or not. All right. Up next, let's talk about one of the positives, though, out of yesterday's game. The defense has strung together a couple. We'll look at that. And one thing has got to change with the way we vote on something in college football. Back here on Cody and
Maybe Gold. My offensive line song should be a Christmas song.
You could do that. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. On a Monday here in Kansas City, we'll get to the random question of the day in about 12 minutes. Someone did text and says, yo, Cody and Alex, aren't you all hyped for Wentz to play so we can run QB sneak on short yardage? I'll be honest.
Practice that anymore?
I would guess if Carson Wentz plays Saturday, Andy's reasoning for he wouldn't do a QB sneak with him either. He would say, well, I really can't afford for Carson Wentz to also get hurt. So my guess is they would still not do it.
You'd want Oladukun in to run the QB sneak then at that rate.
Sure.
The starter can run the QB sneak. This is crazy.
They won't do it.
There have been 7 million QB. This is my unofficial stat. 7 million QB sneaks over the last 10 years. There's been exactly one injury.
Mm-hmm. And it was to your franchise quarterback that you're not going to risk it. And Andy, if Andy did it again,
Jalen Hurts is out here getting 400 pounds laid on top of him every single week. Yes. There's no problem.
Jalen Hurts is a different. Jalen Hurts is a different quarterback. He squats more than most NFL players.
I
mean, he's like the biggest lower legs of any quarterback in football. Lower body strength, like on and on and on, like that. It's different. Come on,
show me the clip of Carson Wentz squatting 600 pounds, and then sure, we'll go ahead.
I'll show you a bunch of other gangly loser quarterbacks who've been running QB sneaks this whole time.
I realize
Bryce Young runs a QB sneak. He weighs like 145 pounds soaking wet.
I think they also didn't get hurt. It's one of those things like once you get hurt once, you don't want to get hurt again, you know?
Okay, well, start running the ball, Andy. No offense.
Well, sure.
He's gotten 17,000 ankle sprains and you refuse to run the football.
It turns out your quarterback.
We're not going to fix that thing, but sure. Let's just never run a QB sneak.
It turns out your quarterback does have to pass the football. He doesn't have to do a QB snake. I'm with you though. Overall, some of the play calling did not protect Patrick Mahomes yesterday. You and I are in agreement on that.
There are like three or four things that you guys just you cannot stand about the way that Andy Reid does things.
Yes.
But you know that they're never going to change. It's the QB sneaks. It's the fourth downs. It's the running the football.
I might be it. It used to be.
Yeah, there's no perfect head coach. He's the best coach in football, but there's no perfect head coach.
It used to be time management. I guess what I just never understood about Andy with those things is. I have seen Andy change 99.99% of anything he'll do. He will change personnel. Mm-hmm. He'll make moves. Andy's thinking. He's always looking at college. He'll run anything.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Andy, what are you thinking about? What do you think about this 4th-and-1 kick? You're like, Andy, come on, man. Now, I will say, Andy's aggressiveness, this one probably should bother me less, because in the postseason, not the running, but in the postseason, Andy does and is more willing to be aggressive. So at the time it matters more. Andy does make that shift, so I'll say that. I'll give him that. Yesterday, the offense was miserable. Just unwatchable bad, honest to God, which we can talk about again in a minute. On the flip side, how about the single best performance on defense all year? 5 turnovers. They had 6 as a team, but 5 on defense, 5 sacks, including Karloftis, Chris Jones, and Aminihue. Do those seem like the guys you're probably expecting to get sacks from? First career interception for Trent McDuffie. They picked on a team that loves giving the ball away, and they actually did it. They had 10 total takeaways going into the game.
Don't let the offensive ineptness yesterday
take away from
how dominant this defense was. And it's 3 straight games where they have been really, really good. I know you can look at yardage and you don't like that teams can drive the ball on them, but 17 points, 17 points, and 7 points given up by this defense in 3 weeks. You know, we can discount it because of the opponents all you want, but they play 17 games in the NFL in the regular season, and I'm not willing to wipe off 3 straight performances from a team when they play 17 games. And that's what some people, I think, want us to do when it comes to talking about this defense. This defense has been better since Charles Aminihue has been back in. They will still give up big plays. It's still going to happen. But in the NFL, I don't care who you're playing, if you give up 7 points and you force 5 turnovers, that's a dominant day at the office. And the pressure is the most positive thing to come out of the game. Like,
consistent,
yes, it's great
pressure.
That McDuffie, good for him, gets his first pick.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But
yeah, really happy.
Ultimately, what's better is that Aminihue being out there is leading to Karloftis getting more sacks. Chris Jones continues to get double teamed. That's why the sack numbers have not been there, right? That the overall performance from the defensive unit is getting stronger come playoff time now. This is exactly what we wanted to see, is it not? Now, let's see what they do, sure, against the Steelers and the Texans and all that. But right now, they are trending in the direction defensively that you want to see. It doesn't mean they won't give a big play. In the Raiders game, they only give up 17 points, but everybody wants to focus in on the one pass to Trey Tucker for a touchdown where Justin Reed got turned around. I get it. But ultimately, it's a results-based business, and the defense has allowed fewer than 20 in 3 straight and fewer than 17 now yesterday. In fact, fewer than 10, a 7-point performance from Jameis Winston. You knocked their starting quarterback out of the game, not because he got hurt, but because he couldn't do a damn thing on your defense.
He played so bad, you got him benched across the board. Charles Aminihue, that was his first sack, but he's been really close on a couple of other to go with it. George Karloftis now leads this team in sacks. Turk Wharton is actually second, by the way.
Okay.
I think what you got to look at here is, like, everybody always look at the aggregate is what matters with a defense. Sometimes how you're playing going in, admittedly, also matters. And if you took in this middle chunk, you would say this, but at the beginning of the season, the Chiefs defense was great. Now for the last 3 games, the Chiefs defense has been great. So if they finished strong and they started strong, well, then the middle was just learning to play without Jalen Watson, and waiting for Charles Omenihu to come back. They are currently tied for the fourth best point per game defense in the NFL. They're only a point behind the top three defenses in the NFL, which are the Eagles, Chargers, and Broncos. Not in that order. I think it's actually Broncos, Chargers, Eagles, or whatever to go with it. But so when you look at it right now, this is a defense that has figured out how to play. Now, look, Connor's probably going to miss at least this week, maybe a couple of weeks because of the concussion, based on the way he was leaving the field yesterday. But for a month straight, I would say, Gold, no blitz worked. They had no ability to get any pressure on the quarterback with their front four, and now they're doing some of those things. So the defense is doing what we thought, because what we didn't understand about the middle performance of this defense is, why was the defensive line bad when it was the identical talent? Last year on the defensive line, Karloftis, Chris Jones, Turk Wharton, Mike Dana. It was the same people, except for we were waiting on Omenihu to return. The second he returned, the defensive line looked like last year's defensive line. No, he is not the best player on the defensive line. That is still Chris Jones. But the second he came back, the rising tide raises all ships kind of thing. He came in and everybody got a little bit better because now they are less easy to defend as a unit. Which means Turk Wharton, when he comes in there, he's playing free. They got to worry about Omenihu and Karloftis and Chris Jones. Turk Wharton can take the worst matchup on the line. He's got 5.5 sacks this year. It just makes him better. That was a truly impressive defensive performance. I give them a lot of credit.
Yeah, defensively, I don't know how you can be complaining about what you've seen from them here recently.
You know that that's two straight first turnover differential now too.
Yeah, well, they had 10 all year takeaways, and now they had 10 takeaways all year. They got six yesterday against Cleveland. That'll fix your turnover differential very quickly. No, I was just going to say two straight games, first half shutouts.
I mean, I'm not just going to ignore that. I think sometimes they want to then it's got to be opponent. But it was the Browns. And you're like, okay, I mean, yeah, I'm not arguing that. But it's not like, I'll be honest, we've talked a lot about the defenses they play coming up. They don't exactly have the murderer's row of offenses coming to town the next 3 days. You know, like the next three games are against the Texans, average scoring team. The Steelers, a below.
Yeah, look, I'll hear all the offensive complaints. I'm right there with you.
It's just great defensively,
though. I don't know what you're expecting. We're just at that point. We're moving the goalposts. If it's like, yeah, but like, what do we? I mean, they won by 14 points. The defense was dominant. Yeah, should they have scored 34 based on the amount of turnovers they got? Absolutely, I'm right there with you. But at some point, though, we got to stop moving the goalposts of like, well, there's just some new excuse. Like on Saturday, it could be Carson Wentz playing. The Chiefs win by 7 points, and there'll be some new reason why that one doesn't count for you.
Wasn't a sexy blowout, you know.
This is ultimately what it is. Yes. This is why we all love fantasy football.
It's not the most fun way to blow a team out.
We all love fantasy football, and there's a reason why there's trends that show the average sports bettor always bets the over because points are fun. Nobody wants to watch a lower scoring game. Points are fun. And I know the answer to this. Like, look at Buffalo. Josh Allen's playing great. Buffalo, though, has given up 86 points in back-to-back games. If the Chiefs were winning games 44-42, you guys probably wouldn't even be complaining, would you?
No.
Well, but they win 21-7, 19-17, 19-17. It's like they stink. They're not any good. They win 44. Because look, I get it. Scoring 44 points is fun. It's a lot of fun. You know what also happened during Buffalo when they did that? They also lost one of those games when they did that.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't think the Chiefs went 19-17, 19-17, 21-7. No. In fact, the only time they gave up more than 30 this year was a loss. So I would say that the formula is working while the offense has to get better. We've acknowledged that. The defensive formula, I don't have much of a problem with it.
No, and I think this goes back to the thing that would have been like, and this is not just Drew. Lots of people were speaking about it this way, which is like, can the defense step up in its moment? Let's be very clear here. If the defense plays mediocre yesterday, they lose that football game. The offense was awful. They only got to 21 points, and they took the ball away 6 times.
That's why they punted 9 times.
So, like, an 8 out of 10 performance at the defense, and it's probably a 7-point game with 2 minutes to go.
Sure.
But they got a 10 out of 10. They needed a 10 out of 10 in a lot of ways, and they got a 10 out of 10 to absolutely bury the Browns.
Yeah, 913-586-7965. Someone says you're really going to call it a Chiefs blowout when they punted 9 times. Yeah, I mean, this goes back to my point of like we're moving the goalposts.
So
now 14 points, like now 14 point wins aren't blowouts anymore in the NFL. The stipulation is it's got to be by 14, but they only can punt 3 times and they can't. Like, this is what we said it on Friday's show that because it's Cleveland, it's a lose-lose situation for a lot of people. And I'm not taking like the one text as the majority of Chiefs fans. A lot of you probably agree that it was a blowout. if you can't tell, it drives me crazy when every week there's some goalpost that gets moved. When they do something you wanted them to do, not that way though. That stuff drives me crazy.
I think they prove your point, Gold. The fact that the Chiefs punted 9 times and won by 14 points, what else do you want to call it? They punted 9 times and they won by 14.
So the game was never close.
If they didn't punt 9 times, it would have been a whole hell of a lot more than 14 points that they won by.
I went ahead and looked it up because I was curious. Margin of victory from the year 2000 until today, right? So just like average margin of victory, the 5% of all games end in a...
we did it, Cody. 80% of all games end in one-score games this
80%,
year.
Well, yeah, just this year alone. So 20% don't end
correct.
In one-score
and they
games.
Were one of the 20% in this game, and then you narrow it down even more, which is what you're getting
by
at.
By 14 or more... You're talking like 7% of all games. That to me feels like a blowout. When you're talking about it's like that few times that a team wins by 14 or more points. Well, then,
and that doesn't mean the game was good. The game was ugly. The blowout doesn't have to be good. Like you could win a game 14 to nothing, and the game could be nasty.
I'm sorry, we're just spoiled. My goodness.
The defense was that good that a guy that threw for whatever it was 400 and whatever yards against Denver. Got benched.
It's just not that often. Like, it's just, and I get it. It's fine. But like, I also view blowouts in the sense that is this game close ever? Was this game close for even 1 second? Was there even one half of 1 second that you thought the Browns were going to win?
No.
okay. Then problem solved. Not like they didn't possess the ball to lead. Like, I thought in that Panthers game there was a chance that the Panthers could win that football game. I not for even 1 second got off the catch and be like, oh, God, big drive for the Chiefs.
Someone says the Lions beating the Jags 52-6 is a blowout. Yes, it is.
But, so you but 48
but what's
more?
The cutoff? So like if
46 or more?
You said 52-6, so what's the cutout? If it was 35, is 35-6 count as well, or were the Lions not? Like, where's the cutoff for you? Again, I didn't realize we need to put up a manual of this, like arrows pointing this leads to blowout, but then if you don't do that, then you're back to not a blowout. But if you do this, I didn't know
this
we needed a freaking chart.
What you're describing is
holy
a flowchart.
Cow.
Is this a blowout? And then it's like, well, did they score more than 21 points? They said, no, not a blowout.
Punt nine times, to the beginning.
Not a blowout.
Yeah,
back to the
good
beginning.
Grief.
You're describing a flow chart.
And we've talked about the issues
of this
offense.
So there was one blowout all year, according to this guy.
It's not ignoring the offensive problems. We've said it 100 times, and they clearly have them still at left tackle. But, like, you know, the definition stuff, I didn't know we needed it. I thought a blowout is pretty obvious.
Since you're already a little hot, you were texting us this week.
It is
warm.
It's warm in here, literally, too.
It's very
warm
in here.
It is very warm.
Yeah, it's quite toasty.
I've got the fan on in here, actually.
Yeah, what is going
on? It's hot.
It is, like, it feels like it's 80 degrees in here, not just because I'm pissed off at some text.
About to go to the undershirt, I think, is maybe the move.
I do have an undershirt. I have a station shirt on. I can take this
one. Oh, yeah, you're square. You're safe.
I don't even own
any of those anymore. I haven't had one of those since I was like
for what
a
now? Tank top?
Oh, an yeah. A shirt, if you want to go with the
no.
more.
No, I just have the 96.5 shirt.
Socially, yeah.
Anyway,
well,
socially
sorry,
normal.
Yes. Right. So let me, yeah.
It doesn't matter. But when you, so, like,
yes.
But you were also mad this weekend because
Heisman
Trophy voting time is
We knew that Travis Hunter was going to win this thing for weeks. It's been pretty evident, not just because he has the most snaps in college football by playing on both sides of the ball and all that, but he is sensational and clearly, I think, has been the best player, in my opinion, in college football. And that's not to say Ashton Jeanty hasn't been great. Any other year, Ashton Jeanty wins the Heisman. Any other year, nobody's debating Travis Hunter winning it. It was a special, special year. The numbers that Jeanty put up, the numbers that Travis Hunter put up. Travis Hunter wins it. It was the narrowest voting margin since 2009. So it was still a wide margin, in my opinion, but it was the narrowest that we've had. My issue is not with who won. I think Travis Hunter should have. My problem is with the entire voting process for the Heisman. This is something that I've been saying for years, and it was even more evident over the weekend. 900 people vote on this thing. Way too many, number one. 900 people need to vote on this thing. Some of them include former winners. That's obviously not a problem. 900 people. Did you know that 25 of the 900 didn't even bother to turn in a vote?
Okay, so they lose their vote,
votes
right?
are gone. Let's just knock it down. Let's just go ahead and knock this thing down to 875. You're gone.
Yeah.
46 people did not even put Ashton Jeanty on the ballot.
Wait, Ashton Jeanty?
62 people did not even put Travis Hunter
so
on their ballot.
Didn't put the
go ahead. We've already knocked out about 125 voters or so. Let's go ahead and just get them out of here.
So just to be clear, those people did vote, but they chose not to in any part of their vote down to whatever decimal point include Travis Hunter?
Cody, there are votes
the
for...
The winner of the Heisman Trophy? Well, then you just lose your vote.
Stupid.
If you aren't going to take the job seriously, then you don't get to vote. Look, they already got too many votes. It's fine. But, like, if you're not going to vote for what is the... Fine. You've just decided Travis Hunter shouldn't have won it, and you think Army's quarterback should have, for whatever.
How? Shout out to Bryson Daly.
For whatever ayahuasca yes, journey
Army just
you
got
took.
Destroyed by Navy in the Army-Navy game. Right.
I can't... If you do not include either of them, and you don't get to vote. If you don't vote, you don't get to vote anymore. But, like, to disclude them just feels like personal vendetta. The fact that Moore didn't have Travis Hunter than didn't have Genty probably just means you don't like Deion.
Correct. Right. That's exactly agree? What this was, Cody. That's exactly what happened.
It's a vendetta.
With voter.
That's stupid.
But honestly, we don't need 900 people voting. I mean, truly, like, why are there 900 people? And we've always joked, our former producer Nick has a vote
he
or whatever.
Give it up, you know?
And it's not, this is not about, because we joked with him when he was here in person. But, like, there's people that vote on this that don't cover, like, actually, like, aren't on the, like, don't cover the sport. What are we doing? Why are they having a vote? It really, honestly, it makes no sense. And then some of them aren't even voting. Unless you were in the hospital and you're on your deathbed, why the hell are you not? Give up your vote. What are you doing? And they let people vote before the conference title games are played. What
that
are
makes
we doing?
Even less sense.
So the whole process sucks and still got the right winner, in my opinion, even though people in Boise are all been out of shape about it.
They got all the wrong people. Like, the Jay Binkleys of the world should vote for this.
I agree.
Award.
Bink does not have a vote.
He doesn't either. Binkley would take it serious. He would put the right players that deserved a chance to
I know
do
he would.
It. Also, it's just again.
I know he watches the games too.
He
some of these people don't
the games.
Watch. Some of these people, Boise State, West Coast, obviously Mountain Time Zone, but West Coast essentially is the way they break out the voting region. And Genty won the Western region, in fairness, even over Dylan Gabriel, which he should have. But there's so many people that vote from New York or wherever, East Coast, that are not staying up till 11 o'clock to watch Boise State, Wyoming, or I'm just using. Dylan Gabriel, same thing. Oregon play on the West Coast, even though they're in the Big Ten.
They need to put... So they have four finalists, technically. They need to make it five, and then you can't vote for anybody outside of a finalist. For instance,
why
you can't vote
for
Army's for quarterback
people, I guess.
Or Curtis Rourke,
they don't
Indiana's
take it seriously.
Quarterback.
Did he have a good season, Curtis Rourke, at least?
Yes. He was also out for a game or two. Bryson Daly had a really good season for Army, and they had a great year, but he's not a Heisman Trophy candidate, like a serious.
So you're
candidate.
Saying the Heisman Trust, which that could also cause problems.
They choose should, to invite.
They choose five players. They choose to invite based on the. They know, I believe, the top five voting.
Oh, okay.
I think that's how they know if it's like that person. So
they can just. Decide.
But the five absolutely should.
And then you vote.
And then let's cut this. I don't know how we want to break out the regions. I don't know. Can we knock this down to like 100 people vote on this thing? Can we knock it down like? You know, and figure it out. I don't know how the math has to work for each. I get why they do the regional voting. That's fine. I have no problem. But let's really narrow this thing down. Let's make sure. Can we confirm each year the people we're having vote on the award are actually covering the sport? Can we do that?
I mean, like,
you
it'd
would
be,
think so.
It'd be the same as giving me a Heisman vote. I couldn't even name where starting quarterbacks played college a year ago. Which
that's
is
true.
Ago.
Yeah.
We were just like, name a college football player,
oh, here
Drew.
We go.
You think
here we go.
Everyone should know, and I'll tell you if I know what college they play for.
Jackson Dart.
No.
Come on, Cody.
Jackson Dart? I'm supposed to know who that is?
Ole Miss.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know.
Dylan Gabriel?
Well, that's working.
Okay.
Because you just said it.
Hold on. Garrett Nussmeyer.
Sounds like a SEC.
Think about your guy. That we like playing cuts from him.
His nickname is the Gumbo Gunslinger.
LSU, ooh, I guess, ooh, if that's it. But had you made me get it quickly, I probably wouldn't have. But there are people like me voting for this award.
There's a guy who's going to be a favorite next year to win, or one of the favorites.
In a weird,
DJ Lagway. Where does he play, Cody?
No idea. It's no clue.
Florida.
I've never even heard of that person's name. At least I've heard of Nussmeyer. But it's like, what's funny is, you joke about the people who don't cover the sport. I would have done a better job voting than all the people who left Ashton Genty or Travis Hunter off their
You would
thing.
Have at least put them on your
I'd
voting
I'd just
list,
put yeah. those two and voted nobody else. Travis Hunter won, Ashton Genty two. End of voting.
Yeah, the whole system sucks for the Heisman now, man.
Look, I feel bad for Ashton Genty because 95, 98, 99, I don't know, whatever percent of Heisman Trophy years there have been, Ashton Genty wins it. He was an incredible player who had an all-time one-of-a-kind college football season. It is unfortunate for him. He was up against a guy who played like 10,000 snaps on offense and defense.
And let me be clear with that.
And played really well on both.
That's been used against him on the Genty. So what I mean by that is, like, people are like, well, it's just because he had a bunch of snaps, he shouldn't win. Let's not act like he was just standing there on these snaps. He was making impactful plays on the snaps he was playing.
On both sides. This is the Shohei Ohtani effect. It's going to be hard to win an MVP against Shohei Ohtani, because if he's a top five hitter in the league and a league average starter, that is more valuable than just you doing one thing. It's not Ginty's fault that he only plays one side of the ball. Travis Hunter is a unicorn.
Do you think the argument would have been flipped? Let's say Ginty did exactly what he did, but he was on Colorado, and Travis Hunter was on Boise State. Other than that, the stats are the same, guys. Do you think aren't the arguments just reversed? Aren't there everybody saying Ashton Ginty should have won and he would have won?
Yes, I think there,
because Colorado's in the Colorado gets the college football playoff if they have Ashton Ginty. In my opinion,
for me,
100%, I think there's merit to that.
For me, no, but like I could understand how you could just be like, this is a, and that probably comes from working in that area too. This is a small school thing. They were never going to give Boise State a chance.
I think so.
I just think Travis Hunter was the more impressive player this year.
To me, like, I think Ginty had to break Barry's record, because Melvin Gordon ran for more yards, same touchdowns in the Big Ten, didn't win the Heisman to Marcus Mariota.
Okay, Mr. Wisconsin.
He didn't break Barry Sanders' record. I think to win it as a running back, you got to break his record. And I know that Derrick Henry ran for less yards and everything and still won it, but there is examples of
truth
guys
is
that
so
last win
year.
It.
Let me ask you this. So last year when it was Jaden Daniels won, right? And by the way, Jaden Daniels had less of the vote percentage than Ashton Ginty got this year and lost.
I think Ginty would have won last year.
Yeah,
that's where you're going.
So. Anyway, the whole process, though, can we just fix this? I think a great comp from somebody is, it's what we said about Bobby Witt. Any other year, Bobby Witt Jr. probably wins MVP. You ran into a guy in Aaron Judge this year that put up ridiculous offensive numbers, and that's what pops for people, for voters. That's what pops.
All right, so Ashton Ginty, Kansas City Chief, 2025. Go back to the first round.
Dallas Cowboy. Jerry can't help himself. He'll draft
him. He can't help himself.
13 or whatever.
Where's he going to go? Is he going to be one of those next round of running back that goes in like 15th?
Yeah, I'm usually anti drafting first round running back.
I think he's projected.
I think Ginty
like
will have a very nice NFL career, though. I do. But yeah, I mean, it's got a late first round. I'd be interested. Not anything higher than
trading up.
That's what I'm saying. Watch the Cowboys. Jerry won't be able to help himself. The Cowboys draft Ashton Ginty.
They do need a running
back. They've drafted
too.
Multiple Boise State players over the years, too. Multiple recently. Cedric Wilson, Leighton Vander Esch, just to name a couple in the last 5 to 7 years.
Well, yeah, and in fairness, every time I think that
Kellen Moore was obviously their OC.
Every time I think that the NFL draft is just going to stop taking running backs in the first round and just give up on that, ETN goes in the top 10 or something, you know, like
Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan.
Every time I think that the NFL is just going to like finally quit. And listen, Jahmyr Gibbs is on a really good team, and he's getting ready to get an even larger workload now that David Montgomery's out indefinitely. Every time I think they're just going to give up on running back, it'll be like 1 year where no running back gets taken in the first round like last year. And then this upcoming year, Ginty will go seventh.
We can talk more about this maybe like as we get in the offseason. I think the view on running backs is going to be much different because of the success of this year. Like overall,
Saquon.
Yeah. Look what Saquon did, what Derrick Henry's done. Like these are guys that all got paid. And I'm like, I don't know. And they're all delivering. And certainly
while,
Saquon.
Christian McCaffrey, but then he got hurt.
Right. I think this has been a very good year for the future earnings, I guess, and draft stock of running backs. And it might cause some teams to view that position. We overcorrected maybe. And now it's balancing back out. All right. Coming up next, we'll get to the audio fun bag. We'll also do a random question since we didn't get that in this segment, but I want to talk more about that offense. You said it was the worst performance of the season. Let's talk more about that next.